Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hello, welcome to today's edition of the podcast. My name is Zoe Close. I'm the Area Sales Manager for Practice Plan. And today we've got with us is Nikki Rowland from Practices Made Perfect. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Zoe.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. Today, Nikki, I want to talk about something related to CQC, and it's about the leadership question.
Yes.
I think a lot of people ask me in practice, you know, how to demonstrate this, how to document this, you know, what does that mean for a practice manager or a principal? And it seems like it's sort of an area that a lot of people are really interested in.
Absolutely. It's definitely an area of great interest, and it's a massive focus for CQC currently. And particularly as we move forward into 2018, the well-led key line of inquiry is going to be a heavy focus in and around it. I think over the last 2 years since the new CQC regime's been introduced, I think the trend is that the struggles and the breaches in the fundamental standards are within the well-led key line of inquiry, with SAFE coming a close second. So the focus and the hot topic, particularly as we move into next year, is going to be in and around well-led.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, the people that have been in breach I know of, it's normally in the well-led area.
It is. If you drill down into well-led, and what that means is CQC is looking for good leadership, good management, and good governance systems. So leadership is top of the priority list.
Okay.
As we go into next year.
Yeah. So we both know that obviously, you know, what it takes to be in practice and sort of show that and demonstrate that. But, you know, what does good leadership look like?
I think as a broad framework, I always give an analogy, really. And for me, when you're setting up a practice and you're setting up a business, you need to have a plan.
Yeah.
And it's almost like getting in a car and driving without having a destination in mind. You would end up going round and round in circles. So leadership for me is having a plan and openly and honestly communicating that with your team, so you're actually taking them on a journey with you. So your destination hopefully will be success, and that's your vision. That's the future. That's where you want to take your team with you. But your mission is the journey along the way. And you'll hear me talking about SMART objectives and likening them to your sat-nav, but I call them your strat-nav, because essentially they keep you heading in the right direction. And if your team take a little bit of a detour, your SMART objectives will always bring you back on track. And if you've got that structure and that strategy in your business, that's the framework for good leadership.
I think that's sometimes a problem though, Nikki. I think people not knowing where to start or having systems or, you know, things in place. And I think that's where sometimes because they don't know where to start, they often ignore that and just hope that they sort of, you know, they're showing good leadership.
Yes.
And I think it's sort of, you know, how do you sort of point them in the right direction? So if I was with a practice that was sort of asking me where to start, where would you sort of point them in the first point of call?
I think the first point of call is to actually look at the framework that CQC are giving us within well-led. A lot of people see the inspection as a negative thing, but actually I always put a positive slant on it because it's giving us a structure for best practice in every area of work, not just clinical, but managerial and from a leadership point of view as well. So if you look at the regulations and you look at the provider's handbook and what well-led means to you and your team, that gives you a framework to work from.
So if you break it down, sort of take it in chunks,
yes.
That's what I sort of advise, because it does sound quite daunting when you read it as a whole.
It does.
And I always suggest that if you just break it down and sort of look at your weak areas and then look to improving that, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so at the moment, obviously, it's a really hot topic.
Mm.
So why do you think it's so particularly important within a dental practice nowadays?
I think it's a general trend across health and social care, and the Francis report was really the catalyst for the CQC inspection. And what he found when he went into the Mid-Staffs NHS Foundation Trust was there was a lack of culture, trust, openness, honesty. There was no duty of candor. That's a legal requirement in our practices now. So I think it's across all health and social care. But because it's been highlighted and we're actually starting to drill down into those good leadership, management, government elements, it's now highlighting those dysfunctions within in our teams as well. And that's one of the things that's been highlighted in inspections over the last 2 years. Mm. And without that strong culture and that trust within the team, you haven't got your foundations to drive your business forward anyway, and certainly to achieve the fine detail that CQC are now looking for.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying to a practice the other day, you know, leadership, it's not about one person doing everything and being responsible, it's yeah. sort of having great delegation skills, you know, making sure the whole team are, you know, involved in what's actually happening in the practice. So it's not just one person being that leader, it's actually making sure that you're sort of, you know, embedding sort of the things that people need to be aware of.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And a prime example is Sir Richard Branson. Mm-hmm. He openly admits, I mean, he's a fantastic leader, mm-hmm. but he hasn't necessarily got the management mm-hmm. and the governance skills and all the skills that are required to actually mm-hmm. achieve the success that he's achieved. Mm-hmm. He has openly delegated and actually employed the people that are fit and proper for the role. And that's exactly what CQC are doing now, are wanting to see that you are safely recruiting and recruiting the right people that not only have the skills and the right attitude and ability to do the clinical role in your practice, but they're actually going to fit in with your culture mm-hmm. and will help, will be committed and accountable and drive your business forward as well. And that's exactly what Richard Branson's done.
Definitely. I mean, I think there's people in your team that, you know, once you find out their skill set, you know, they like to have that extra responsibility. So they're happy to help
yes.
you with those
yeah.
duties.
Absolutely. It's those kind of people that you want in your practice. If you get that one bad egg, it's so difficult to manage them. And then that filters through to the rest of the team. And it does have a really destructive influence on the rest of the team, who could have been really tight-knit and working brilliantly and cohesively before that person was introduced. So it's key to the whole mix. And that's part of the leadership role, is recruiting the right people to fit in with your culture.
We're talking about recruitment, Nikki. I think HR on a whole is quite obviously a massive topic.
Absolutely.
But recruitment has come a long way, as we know, and I think quite rightly so. I think more people now have a sort of strict process in place. I mean, for those that haven't, you know, I think that's really a first port of call to
it
make.
Is,
like
it
you
is.
Say, if you get the right people for the roles, it does eliminate some of the problems further down the line.
Absolutely. And, you know, within the CQC framework, again, next year, CQC are going to be really drilling down into our safe recruitment and selection processes to ensure that we have got the right people and that we're ticking those regulations off, that we have got fit and proper people actually within our establishments.
Yeah.
To firstly, so we've got that strong culture to drive our businesses forward so they're successful and sustainable. You know, particularly in this day and age with Brexit and frozen NHS contracts, CQC want to see the evidence that you're going to be sustainable as well. And you can't do that without the right team and great leadership within your practice.
It's funny, you're on about the, you know, recruiting people. With the practice the other week, that had actually recruited somebody and allowed them to start before they've got the references back. You know, they've done so much of the process
yes.
absolutely 90% correctly. Because there'd been a sort of delay in the references coming back, and they was keen to get a person to start,
yes.
because obviously they're all under pressure, they put them into the role and they're now having problems.
Mm.
Since received the references, and actually they were quite negative references, which is often unusual nowadays, because
yes.
people are very reluctant to provide references. And then now obviously it's becoming a problem and it's harder to sort out. So when you say good leadership, I mean, that particularly wasn't really a good call to let the person start really without
the
references.
No, I totally agree with you, Zoe, but I do understand the pressure to work and the delay and, you know, we've got our targets to meet, whether we're NHS with our UDAs or whether we're private, we've still got to generate income to allow that sustainability. So there is that need to get people working as quickly as possible. But again, that's why it's important to have your robust recruitment processes in place so you can get that person working as quickly as possible. And inductions are a massive part of that.
Yeah.
And again, you need to be showing hard evidence that team member has been inducted into your practice robustly so they can safely work as quickly as possible. And part of that safety issue is getting your references, is getting a current DBS check, making sure if they're not a national, that they've got the right to work in the UK, that you've got all those things lined up in a personal folder to show the evidence that that person is fit and proper for the role and will be working safely.
I did once have an inspection where a young trainee girl, she was with us about 6 months, and they wanted to look at her induction log,
yes,
basically.
Yeah.
What had been done, what were you moving forward, what was signed off. And it was really sort of really drilled down. I kept thinking at the time, is this enough what we've done?
Yes, yeah.
And the first time there was a few gaps. Nothing that created an action point, but there was a few sort of comments that we took on board. Mm-hmm. So when you do get the inspection, and obviously the leadership side of it, what are the inspectors looking to see then? What main things would you have to sort of show?
There's a vast array of things that can demonstrate that you're well led and that you're a good leader. Part of that is your recruitment processes. We've touched on that. The big thing that they're looking at now is that you have a business strategy. And particularly if you're a new practice or there's a change of ownership and you're going through a registration process, you will be asked to show evidence for your strategy. And again, to demonstrate that you're going to be sustainable. So you've got a business plan, that you've got objectives for your business. You can demonstrate how you're going to take that business forward. And again, as a director, a principal and provider level, that you're fit and proper to direct and lead your practice moving forward.
Excuse me. Yeah, I was at the practice the other day that we were talking about training and ongoing investment in the team.
Absolutely.
I sort of am quite a firm believer in that. And I was saying it shows that the practice's, you know, leadership sort of comes into that, because obviously you're prepared to invest and allow them time out, put them on courses ongoing, and I think that's another way of demonstrating that a practice gets well.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. When my husband and I had our practice, that's what we did. You know, we could see very clearly that if we invested in our team, they'd invest in us. And I think, generally speaking, it's about a 1% investment in your team from a training perspective year on year, but we invested 5%. And in a 3-year period, doubled our turnover. And that was the only thing we did, was invest in training, develop our services, mm-hmm. and that drove our business forward. Mm-hmm. And that most certainly demonstrates great leadership. Mm-hmm. And again, developing your team, not just core CPD, but things within the realms of the practice and the services you're delivering, if you can optimise staff performance, that's going to tick a massive well-led mm-hmm. box when the CQC inspector comes through the door.
The other thing that I mentioned was obviously I mean, trying to have regular one-to-ones and the appraisal sort of systems. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's taken some people quite a lot of getting used to, particularly in smaller practices where there's a very, you know, personal sort of feel to it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, obviously they could become friends or friendly. And I think it's felt quite awkward at times for them.
Yes.
But, you know, I've sort of encouraged them to sort of stick to sort of a process, mm-hmm. even if it's, you know, not as regular as what me or you would like.
Yes.
At least there's something in place that can show that's happening.
Absolutely. And I think appraisals, again, they're obligatory. We're going to have to do them annually. One-to-ones are fantastic. If you can factor those in, even if they're on a quarterly basis, appraisals are not enough in my eyes. A one-off once a year is not going to keep your team on track. You can have staff meetings, but that's a very general approach. But if you've got individuals that you want to motivate, you're maybe managing their performance to a degree, one-to-ones are absolutely essential. And again, it's demonstrating fantastic leadership skills if you're spending that time one-to-one with somebody and actually giving them that additional support that they may need to optimise their performance.
I mean, I actually prefer more regular one-to-ones than actually a formal appraisal. Mm. I think appraisals are often either 6 monthly or yearly.
Yes.
And it can often be too far away.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I think that it just gives you regular contact.
Yes.
And makes that person feel valued, that they can, you know, it's their time to sort of discuss things with you on a one-to-one, because a lot of things in practice is very busy, you know, there's always something happening. And I think it just makes people feel valued that, you know, it's their time to speak to you.
Absolutely.
And give them some feedback and
definitely
give you feedback. And as a manager, I particularly knew that it was a great time for me to sort of take on board, you know, how they felt, and wasn't aware of that always.
Yes, I totally agree. You've got to ring fence the time to do the appraisals, and they've got to take precedent. Mm-hmm. For that reason, you know, you want to invest in your team, they need to feel valued, and then they will give back. Whatever you give to them, they will return if they're a committed and motivated team member. And appraisals, you know, if you want to go the extra mile within an appraisal and reading through between the lines, you know, through Shaping the Future and the new CQC documents, one thing that they might be looking for moving forwards, it's not obligatory, but it's something that I'm recommending my practices to introduce, is skills gap analyses. So you're actually identifying what skills your each individual team member needs and what training and at what level. So not only are you drilling down into whether they need some formal training or whether it's just coaching or shadowing in a house, but you can then actually start to budget for the year ahead because you've identified the training needs for each individual. And then again, that's demonstrating how you are fitting your financials in with staff development as well. Again, another box ticked for leadership.
Nikki, there's so much when it comes there to leadership.
There is, all day, all day.
Thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, thanks, Zoe.
Thank you.